In our study of the Gospel of John, we are looking at the last part of the upper room event, chapters 15, 16, and 17, before the Lord goes out to be crucified. So perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, set apart these moments that we might think and rethink, understand. Our God, help us. And our Father will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. We share together in the Gospel of John at this point, the Lord Jesus has made it clear that as they honor their relationship to him, vine and the branch, that kind of thing, that they would enjoy being his friends, and he would call them his friends. And they are then reminded, verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, and we share that together, keeping in mind chosen to be elect, to be selected. And in the process, God did the choosing. Now, they needed to be reminded of that. And in John chapter 6, going over there just for a second, and keeping in mind John chapter 6, going, if I can, in the light of all of that, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, and Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the Lord answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil or a demon, now, as it were. Now, so here we are looking in the process, and God had chosen them. And here in chapter 15, God reminds them that they were chosen, the 12 were chosen. And in the light of that, just to lock that in a little better, while we're on it, Acts chapter 1. In the book of Acts chapter 1, picking up please, in verse 2. Acts 1, 2. Until the day of which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now he chose the 11, 12 of them. He chose them. He could have picked others, but he chose them. And when Judas went out and was gone, there's 11, and they needed a 12th one, and God chose the 12th one, verse 24, 1 and 24. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, thou knowest the hearts of all men. Show whether thou, which of these two thou hast chosen. And God did. So God does the choosing, and we share together like apples or something, if you would, depending on the illustration you want. The apples are in a big barrel, and all the apples God's concerned about in the same way. Christ died on the cross for them. That's why they're created. They're created because Christ died for them. And Christ paid the price for them. Not he's going to pay. He paid it already. So he paid the price. So we know that. So and we also know that no flesh shall glory in his presence. And that means nobody. So hang on to that. That all flesh is as grass, as the flower of the field. So we know that. So humans, far as humans having special qualifications or special this or that, no, they don't. Christ died for all of them, and all of them have no qualifications that this guy's better than that guy. Flesh is flesh on this side, flesh is flesh on this side. Doesn't make any difference. Grass is grass, and grass is grass. Christ died for all, so that's starting point. So here's all of them. And God, everything you're doing is to implement and outwork what you did before anything or anyone was created, including angels. You died on the cross for them, and you went and died literally for them, and that's what you were going to do in John chapter 15. You're going out to die for them. Now, so you chose, and you chose Israel, using quickly Israel. Israel was to be what? What's Israel chosen for? To be a witness, to awaken the heart of all the nations of the world. That's what Israel's for. In the future, what's Israel's for in the kingdom? Israel is to be God's vehicle to what? Reach all of the nations. That's what he's going to do. What are you doing with the church? The church is chosen. Over, if you would, please. Over to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, what is the church? The church is are a bunch of what? Whosoever's that believe. Christ died for them. What is he doing? He's demonstrating his marvelous life. That's what he's doing. Hang on to that. And God, so the Israel is a chosen, peculiar, special, prized, privileged nation. Absolutely. And they forfeited. They didn't believe. They lost the privilege for the moment. They're going to have it again. Because God didn't change anything. What he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he promised them, and that's what he's going to do. That's the vehicle. Are you choosing and rejecting, choosing and rejecting, choosing and rejecting? No. No, I chose them, and I put them aside. They're going to be back, Romans chapter 11. Now, so therefore, here's the church, the whosoever's that believe, and what are they doing? They're showing the wonderful life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they're doing. And they're showing it to whom? Acts 1:8, to all the nations of the world. Wherever they are, nothing's changed. And God chose that. He got to do something, some way to choose things. And that's some way to beat the Philistines like you did in Sunday school. You got to have some way to beat the Philistines. So God chose Samson, and God chose the jawbone of an ass. God could have chosen Pinocchio, if Pinocchio was a person. God could do whatever he wants. And God did it. That's right. He did. That's what he does. So here's the church. And here's our Lord. Is he born in Bethlehem of Judea? Is that God's plan? Absolutely, from the foundation of the world. So 1 Peter chapter 2, picking up in verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed, rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God, and he's precious. Precious, and that preciousness of God in a most wonderful way is to be understood. And sliding down, I might as well read the context a little better. Verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus Christ. Wherefore also, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, there's your word, elect, select, chosen, and he's precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, confused, ashamed, etc. Verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, don't believe, he alone, the stone which the builders disallowed, rejected, the same is made head of the corners. I'll read it because I want to get to that. Verse 8, and the stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient unto thereunto, also they were appointed. In other words, they just aren't going to believe, but that's what they've chosen. Many few Many go down the road, but few are chosen, because they don't want to be chosen. Verse 9, but ye are, that's us, church, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, think of Israel, people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Israel was to be a nation to the world to show the nations. And the church is a bunch of whosoever's out of the nations in a day of grace. And they are privileged. They are privileged. They are privileged. In Christ, they have a wonderful position to be saved. And everyone that wants to be saved by in all the world, like all the nations, all the people can be saved and believe and be part of the body of Christ in a most wonderful way in this day of grace. And that's what the church is doing. So the church is chosen for that purpose to what? To demonstrate the wonderful life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, back over, if you would, to John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, picking up, please, in thought, if I can, chapter 15 and verse 16. I'll read it. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So you, guy, you, salvation, who did that? God. Who cared about you? God. Who created you? God. Who saves you? God. Who convicts you of sin? God. Who is your God? God is God. Always the same. God does it all. God. And we cooperate and yield. And we, so we didn't do any choosing. We don't, even in the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, you don't choose where you are in the body. But 1 Corinthians 12 and 18, God puts you in the body when you get saved, wherever he chooses. That's what he does. I don't do it. You don't do it. God does it. But just to be in the body, a toenail, a cell, any part of the body. Wow, that's a privilege indeed. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, verse 16, and ordained you. Not only did he choose, but he ordained. The word ordained means to set, to place, to appoint, and thus in the process, to set apart for a purpose, to appoint for a purpose. He has ordained us and appointed us for a purpose. Now, hold your finger here, and let me do it just a little differently, to over to 1 Thessalonians, and we'll put the two words together. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1, in verse 15 of John 16, chosen and ordained. So here in Thessalonians, the believers in Thessalonica, and they are reminded by the Spirit of God, chapter 1, verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election, your selection, your being chosen of God. And then, how are they chosen? Verse 4 or 5. Our gospel, good news, came not unto you in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. God saves you, and you believe the gospel, and you were chosen. God did before the foundation of the world. We shared all that together last time. And God did that. Christ died on the cross for everybody. He's the chosen one. God chose him. The Father, Son, Holy Ghost. God the Son volunteered to be the one to die and to become born in the Virgin Mary, a perfect humanity and perfect God united in one flesh. And God chose that. And God did that. And God died on the cross to do it. Fine. Now, that's that part. Now, the next part, 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, and you're going to go to down to verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Now we're looking at the word ordained, to set apart, to place. And we're going to read 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed, chosen, ordained, I should say. God hath not ordained, set apart. God hath not appointed, ordained, to, for a purpose, us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is our word ordained. God did not appoint us. He did not have as a purpose to wrath. He had as a purpose grace, his wonderful grace. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, God has a wonderful purpose to appoint us to his wonderful saving grace in a wonderful way. Now, over back over, if you would, John 15. That's what his purpose is. He chose you, saved you, and he saved you for a wonderful purpose. And what is that purpose? Well, in Thessalonians, it included grace and not wrath. Here, John chapter 15, picking up in verse 16, if I can. And has chosen you and ordained you, appointed you for a purpose, That that you should bring forth fruit. Now, that's what he chose you for. What's ordained you? Ordained you, he set you apart, being chosen, to do what? Produce fruit. That's what he did. That's what he's looking for. Remember the vine, the branch? The branch is attached to the vine in order to have the grapes, in order to have the fruit. And you recall John chapter 15, and picking up in verse 8, 15 and 8, herein is my Father glorified, how? By you bearing much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. I'm looking for fruit. That's what I want. I want a relationship that a human has to God, who saves and died for them, chose them to be saved, in order to what? To produce the evidence of the relationship. Hang on, the relationship has to be produced, evidence of it. Now, in the light of that, to bring forth fruit. Now, and the fruit, remember, you know all these things without doing it all. God's going to do that to show, and you're going to show fruit. And Galatians chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, 22-23, the fruit of the Spirit, singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, God. So what is the fruit? The fruit's going to be God. God's going to have, we shared it in John chapter 14, 15. God said, I've given you my peace, not yours, not mine. God's peace, God's love, God's joy, my friends. That's all God brought you in and chose you to have a unique relationship to all that he is. Not what we is, but what God is. Big difference, hang on. So that what God is, to evidence that. How so? How is he going to evidence it? That God is all these things by the fruit. The fruit is what? Nothing less than, other than, God, God's love, God's joy, God's peace, all of those things taking place to show up. So the heart, the human heart, the branch, is to enjoy that relationship in a very unique way. And, in verse 16, and that your fruit should remain and abide. In other words, it's God's. Fruit is God. And what God is doing, God is doing it, and since God did it, who did it? God did. You're always in front of God. So if God did back here, you're in front of the one who what? Who did all of these things. He is the continued evidence. His wonderful person and presence, is what? In your life, in a unique way. And all of these things have happened in your life and have worked in your life. And it's your relationship to God. You're supposed to be growing and knowing. And that's what you're supposed to do. And your fruit's going to remain. The wonderful, wonderful privilege of God being God. He's my God, your God, our Savior. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, your fruit's going to remain. God is going to be God. God is going to glorify himself in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, verse 16. The fruit should remain, and that whatsoever, hang on to that, whatever you're going to ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So whatever you're going to ask the Father in my name, whatever you're going to ask, that, T-H-A-T, that whatsoever, the little word that conjunction is what? It's a different, conjunctions mean different things, conjunction. What is this saying? You're looking at it. Bring forth much fruit. That, pointing, what's the whole purpose? What's the result? That, the relationship, the fruit is to produce a what? The fruit, God's, the relationship to God, which is God, is to produce a relationship. In order that, pointing to what? What is it all about to make that happen? Verse 16, that result, in order that, whatsoever you shall ask in the Father in my name, he may give it you. All of this is for what? For the believer to have a real, vital exercise of a relationship that works. And you can read all the other things are wonderful, fruit and when chosen. If you don't make it work and evidence it, what's this? All of it's true, but it doesn't fix. It doesn't produce an experience. It doesn't produce joy. It doesn't produce reality. So God, what are you saying? I want you to have such a relationship that my son has. You're going to ask in his name. And that's, he did. He lived his whole 3 1/3 public years of his ministry. He lived all of his ministry, but all of his life. 3 1/3 years of his public ministry. He evidenced what? A unique relationship to the Father. So that whatever the Father wanted, wished, did, he was available as a wonderful, a pleased God, John 8:28-29. He pleased God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He just wanted God to be God, the Father, in him in a wonderful way. And therefore, the relationship. Now, God, what are you after? The end of verse 16. In order that the result that you have such a relationship to God like he had, and you are a son, Romans 8, in the Son, and that's what you're going to do. You're going to ask in his name as a son, and the world's going to know. How does the world know the relationship? Because you're a child of God, a son of God, and he's outworking his marvelous life. And as a son, like the Lord Jesus, he looked to the Father. What are we supposed to do? What's the whole purpose of this? That we can ask whatever. It isn't a dreaming statements that go nowhere at all. Now, in order to catch that and to capitalize on that, we'll do it right here since we're right at this point in the upper room. Back over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And you would recall, I'm just going to drive home the point because you'll never hear it. No one, it's pie in the sky for the system. We don't. No one believes. No one even considers it, hardly, like they should. Chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater, more, in great quantity, because all believers, Christ is in all believers. Christ being in 1,000 believers, Christ doing 1,000 things in 1,000 ways, is much more than Christ in Bethlehem in the temple, isn't it? One Christ doing his work. Thousands of believers honoring God, showing God. God's doing his work in them. Greater works. Hang on. Than these shall he do. Do, D-O, important verb. Because I go to my Father, unto my Father. And, look at the word, you know these things. And whatsoever you shall ask, there's your word. Remember the word ask, we're looking at it each time. It means desire. Ask, desire. It's an act of volition. God gave you, I am, I ought, moral, I am, person. I ought, I am morally responsible. I will, I have the right to choose. And this word ask means desire, an act of volition. I will. What do you will? I will God's will. What did the Lord Jesus say? In the garden, not my will, but what? Thy will be done. John 4. I didn't come to feed on a hamburger. I came to outwork the will of God. So what are we doing? We shared just this, Sunday school, in the light of all of that. Now, so therefore, verse 13, whatsoever I shall ask in my name, that will I do. There's your verb again. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's what it's all about. How are you going to glorify the Father? If you don't be a son, well, how are you going to be a son? Sons talk to the Father, and the Father outworks his will. That's how you're going to be a son. Well, I'm a Christian. That's wonderful. Now, what does that translate into if I look at your life? A Christian what? As opposed to what? A Buddhist? It's life. You've got to have something, relationship. Otherwise, it's just a lot of talk. That's no good. That's why we're in apostasy, the church. That's why the tribulation's on our doorstep. But because the church is, when I come, the Lord, John 8, Luke 18, when I come, will I find the body of truth believed by the church? And he won't. The answer's a negative, no. Rhetorical, no. I'm not going to find it. You're taking the church in grace, that's right. It isn't because they're super duper. No, not at all. It's because the time is up and I'm going to exercise the wrath of God in the world. Tribulation. The time's up. So here we are, God. Wow. And look at the ask in verse 13. The little verb, I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. God doesn't ever quit. He bangs home and if we'd ever let him get to us. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, as a son talking to the Father. What's the Son want? He wants the Father's will, he wants the Father to be glorified. So when I want the Father to be glorified, it isn't about what I want or wish, it's about what he wants. And so I'm going to go and exercise that relationship. And whatever I ask, in verse 14, in my name, I will do it. God's going to do it. Now, God didn't say, we're going to do it. He didn't say, you're going to do it. He said, I'm going to do it. You ask in my name, and I'm going to do it. That's important. Because we're all, not you guys, girls, but it's the system out there that we live in. It's all wrapped up in us human, being human. And you never can enjoy being God's children. Never can enjoy being God's son. We We go to church, do whatever, but we never enjoy anything. We never know it. What? We lose out. Now, having said that a little bit, keeping that in mind, over in chapter 15, verse 7. If you ask, 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask, there's your little word, what you will. The word will, desire, is very similar as the word ask, volition. And it shall come and it shall be done unto you. So it's a relationship that we're supposed to exercise. And that's what it's all about. And God, it's what? How are we going to glorify you? How are we going to, whatever? It's by fruit. And you can't have fruit. We're talking about fruit. I want you to talk to me as a son. I want you to go to work, at home, school, eating, drinking, coming, going. I want you to be ordinary in an extraordinary relationship, having an extraordinary relationship in a most ordinary way. That's what I want. Because you're mine. That's what our Lord did. He went up and down. Oh, he did all miracles and all kinds of things. But 24 hours a day, he just walked up and down. He went to McDonald's and had whatever. And he did all of the different things. Ordinary things. So if you were there, you followed him 24 hours a day. He just did that. He took a nap. He did everything in a wonderful way. And God did it. Wow. Now, do it again. Over to 1 John. Over the first epistle of John, chapter 3. And let me just hit it again. John's going to say it to us later, not much later, right in the same period of history. John chapter 3, and picking up in verse 22. 3 and 22. And whatsoever, that word, whatsoever you ask, there it is, we receive of him. How come? Because we keep his commandments. We're sons. That's what we do. And do, there's your little verb, do those things that are what? Pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. And he, verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know, what do we know? That he abideth in us by the Spirit of God that is given us. And the God is going to all be what? We're going to ask whatever. God is going to, wonderful. Chapter 5, picking up in verse 14. 5 and 14 again. God, you're going to say it. After you know, verse 13, these things are written that you could know. Make sure you're saved. Know you're saved. Don't even play with it. God, either you did it or you didn't. Either I believe or I didn't. Either I received you or I didn't. If I did, I'm saved. Therefore, verse 14, this is the confidence, bold, free, frank word, fearless. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask, there's your little word, ask. Anything whatsoever, according to his will, God's will, that's what we want. We aren't interested. We go, Father, we want you to work your will to evidence our relationship to you. So the Father is glorified. He heareth us, verse 14. Verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, and he do, whatsoever, there's your little word, we ask, there's your little word again, we know, what do we know? That we have the petitions that we desired of him. We ask it, desired it, God's will, and that's what's going to be. Because you believe. Think of Sunday school. You believe. I do, do, do. You believe? Wow. I do. And it happens. Uh-huh. Wow. I'm going to have it. I don't have it. No, I don't. I haven't even got home yet. I may never get home. But I want God's will. I want God to finish out the day. I want God to have everything he has in mind. That's what I want. I don't have the rest of the pieces. I didn't count the raindrops. I don't know anything. I just know God. And you know him. And we drive here. We sit here. That's what we're doing. What are we doing? We're sitting here. God, we can do that. Why are we doing that? Because of God. Other people aren't doing it. Other people are doing all kinds of things. But the believers are there believing, hopefully, and looking to God for to be God. Wanting God to understand God's word and will. That's what we want to do. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. We just read it. Make sure my words find a home in your heart. That's what we're doing. I want to understand and have it so I understand that. And God does what he does in a most wonderful way. So God, and having done that, now here's the world. And the world, what about the world? Over, if you would, Matthew chapter 12. What do we know about the world in the light of all of this? A, needs to make sure you have this piece in the puzzle so you can see the picture properly. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Give us, they wanted some evidence. Verse 39. He answered and said unto them, the evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign, be given it to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And he's going to be risen again. And what are we going to know about a resurrection? There's going to be an empty tomb. And who's going to see you? I'm only letting, ultimately, bottom line, 500 people at one time will see me. No more. Just 500. And then I'm going up. Acts chapter 1. I'm going up. Now, God, wouldn't it be good to have you walk up and down the streets of Jerusalem with your nail-pierced hands? Wouldn't that be wonderful? No, you're not going to do that. No, you're not going to do that. Because they crucified him in unbelief. And in unbelief, they would still be not believing. They would crucify him again. So God, what are you going to do? In a day of dark unbelief like never before in history, because history never had so much information, so much understanding. Christ has died on the cross in fulfillment of historic foreverness. In unbelief. So therefore, God, the only thing going to do, what? No empty tomb. Uh-huh. I'm not going to show him anything. Well, tell him, let's do some more miracles. No. I'm only going to show him what? I'm going to take whosoever's, and I'm going to go and find my home in their heart, vine and the branch. And I'm going to take those whosoever's that are nobodies, and I'm going to have them live all over the world as much as they are or aren't. And they're going to live all over the world and honor me. They're going to find their home. And I'm going to find my home in their heart. And I'm going to demonstrate I have chosen them. For what? To bring the world under conviction. And they need to be saved. And therefore, I'm going to take the whosoever's. And I'm going to live my life in them. Not your life. It's my peace, my love, my joy, my friendship. It isn't yours. I'm going to find my home in your heart, and I'm going to demonstrate it to the world that you have a relationship to me by fruit. That's about God. Why, we can't see God? No. No, you can't. You can't, but They can see you as a believer, as a son, as a child, as a branch, and you abide. And whatever you ask, I'm going to live my life out of you in an ordinary way, extraordinarily. So whatever you eat or drink, Colossians 3:17-23, whatever you eat or drink, it'll be to my glory and honor. And you are going to have a relationship to me, and you're going to go to work, you're going to go to school, you're going to take your pain pills, you're going to do everything you can, as best you can, because you know me and honor me. That's why. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I want that relationship. That relationship makes it work. Without it, you're just a bunch of, not you, we're a bunch of Christians. Christians, maybe, coming and going. And our influence to the world is zero, pretty much. That's why he's going to say right after this, except the world hates you. Well, no one hates me. Everyone loves me. Something's wrong. Something's wrong somehow. We're going to do that. You have to get that in balance. Always keep things in balance. Don't go way off in the deep end. Keep them in balance. It all is in balance. Wonderful, wonderful balance. Now, so therefore, Matthew chapter 6. What is the world doing? The world's trying to find life, living out there. Out there. And in the process, what do we know? Lord, you say it. I'm not going to read it, I don't have time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, our life isn't food, our life isn't this, our life isn't that. And the world's busy trying to find life out in their work, home, school, play, because that's what it is. And we shared, if you were blind, all your senses were gone. If you couldn't see, touch, taste, smell, what would you know? You would consider yourself dead, even though you're still alive, because you can't relate to anything. All of the senses would be gone. Your life's out here. But if all your senses are gone, you aren't gone, and your life isn't in the senses, in your eyes, ears, nose, throat. No. But that's what the world thinks. Therefore, chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? Because, verse 32, for, because, after these things do the Gentiles seek. That's what they're doing. They're trying to get everything, food, clothing, survival, rent, all, they're trying to make life work. That's what they're trying to do. That's what they're doing. Verse 32, after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So God, it isn't a question. You know we need to know this and do that and have that. Absolutely, God said. But you aren't caught up like they are, because that's their life. It isn't what you need. I am. I meet all your need. I am your need. I fulfill it all, he said. Verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So that's what you're doing. So we go with God and trusting God, and our work is our life in a most wonderful way before God, and God does what he does in an awesome way to honor himself. And God, that's what you're doing. That's all it is. Wonderful, 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 God. That's what you want. That's what I want. I want to be able to go, you and I want us to go to school. I want us to go to work. I want us to do the dishes. I want us to brush our teeth. I want us. It's God. Our bodies is what? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Our body is what? Bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God where? In your body. That's what you're doing. So, God, that's what I do. and enjoy. Enjoy the spaghetti and meatballs. Enjoy the pizza, you know? Wow. And well, enjoy the banana split. That's what to do. Enjoy it. What do you drink? Drink to what? To the glory of God. And you know what that does? That tells us what we drink and what we drink, what we do and everything. Why? Because I'm doing it to God's glory. I'm not trying to get drunk to God's glory. I'm trying to stay away from it so I don't get drunk. Drugs, the drugs coming up, what's happening in our world and country, heroin and all this stuff. Wow, wow. No wonder Revelation chapter 9. What's it going to be like? Full of sorcery and drugs. Everyone's caught up in drugs, trying to find life, trying to find out, trying to find this in their drugs. And God said, that's what they're going to do. And they're going to do it. And we're headed there. We're headed there like we were never there 40 years ago. I don't even know the stuff. LSD was a big thing back then. Now they got DDS and HEB and who knows what they got. I'm just talking. I'm kidding. They could have something. Now, so God, what are we doing? God, it's a wonderful thing you're doing. That's right. It's an awesome thing. Now, God, it's so easy. If I just get a handle on it, God. Well, over if you would, please. Oh, I'll give you a little different. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 28 in closing. Little different. Little way to say it, and you're in the place, I hope, to enjoy it. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, this is the wonderful, remember, blessings and the cursings. Israel was to be a prized, privileged people. They forfeited that for the moment. The church, 1 Peter 2:9, is a chosen priesthood, a chosen body, priest, royalty. We have all the privileges in Christ our Lord. And we have all of those privileges. And we have them. We're a prized, peculiar people. Now, so I got Israel, and they never got this like they should have, could have, like they're going to get it. But God, we got this and better than this. I'm just going to read you just a couple of things. I love it. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass that if you'll hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all these commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee and hunt thee down. You don't have to ask for any blessing. You don't have to ask for good or grace. I'm going to give it to you without ending. 1 John chapter 1, verse 16. And we have received grace in place of grace in place of grace. When does it end? It doesn't. It doesn't. How can we do whatsoever? In grace, because of grace. You're saved by grace. It's all about God. That's what grace is. Grace means it's all about God. God's being God. That's right. Now God, Israel didn't care. But the blessing, if they had just stayed with you, God, but they didn't. And therefore, the cursings end up hunting them down instead of the blessing of God. So therefore, I'm going to go from verse 2, all these blessings shall come forth on thee and overtake thee, hunt thee down like a lion hunting an antelope. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. I'm going to slide down, just I don't need to give it to you, just one thing. Verse 6. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. when you go to bed and when you get up, when you go to work and when you come home, when you go to school and come home, whatever you do, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you when you turn to the left. I'm going to bless you when you turn to the right. I'm going to honor myself. You want my will? You want my will worked in your life, in an ordinary life. So don't try to, what special thing can I do like Samson? No, if God has that in mind, he'll let you know. Until then, just do what you do. Pray that you'll work as unto the Lord, that you'll do your everything you have to do, coming, eating, drinking, coming, knowing, your whole life. God, thank you. Thank you that I can brush my teeth, having life. I can take a pain pill if I had to ever, because I have life. I can fall down, I can stand up. I can work 16 hours in a row because I have life. I may not be able to work 6 minutes, but I have life. It doesn't matter, God. I have life. And that's what you want me to enjoy, my wonderful life, so that I can have ordinary living in an extraordinary way. Did that come out all right? Our Father and God, thank you for your word, your work, your grace. God, it's so wonderful, simple you've made it. So exceedingly successful, to be very successful, God. Not a try and hit and miss, no sir. No sir, God, whatever we ask in your name, you're going to do it. And that's what you asked us. You told us to do so. And that's because we're children, we're sons, Father. Father, that's why Spirit of God, you keep banging home to us, Abba Father, so that we never forget the relationship. My Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's all. Thank you. Thank you. God help us. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.